You know, there's been a question asked for many years. We still have that question sometimes ourselves. The disciples asked that question. I'd like for us to take a look at it. It's in the third verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? You know, we've had a question. I've wondered it myself. I wonder when the world's going to come to an end. You know, there's been people in the past that have thought it's going to end a long time ago. I would imagine at the turn of the century, we read the songs in our songbook that we're right on the verge of eternity. And, you know, that's been 100-something years ago. But it doesn't matter. The end is still coming. The question was asked then, and we're 2,000 years down the road. What's the sign of your coming? And there's something that we need to remember. I was thinking in Mark. It's in Mark 13:32. Who all knows when the end is going to be? This one gives us a little clearer picture. Mark 13:32. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. How many times over the past years have you heard somebody say, the world's coming to an end on this day? Well, you know what? You just about count on it. I don't know what day it's going to be, but I know it won't be that day. Because no man knows when it's going to be. So just go ahead and kind of rest easy. It's going to come. But I'm just pretty sure the Lord won't give him the benefit of being able to, it did it on the day he said, that person. Down through time, how many times it has been that somebody say the world's coming to an end on a certain day. This one lets us know. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So Jesus is telling us there, you know what? I don't even know when that day is going to be. Just, there'll be a day come when the Father says it's closing out. So I was thinking about that as we look at this, these verses that it tells us about it. I would like for us to go to the 24th verse of this. Let's start at the 42nd verse. Watch therefore. You know, 2,000 years later, we're still just told, you watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. 43rd. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I used to worry a lot about when the end of all things would be. But now I'm almost 60 years old. And I don't spend much time thinking about when the end of the world is coming because I got something else to think about. You know what? My end is coming. I'm getting older and it is appointed unto men once to die, whether it's at the end of all things or whether it's just my end. So these verses that tell me if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. I need to be thinking about it just for the time that he comes for me. Don't worry so much about the end of all things, because if I'm prepared for the time he would come for me, I'll be prepared if it closed it all out and the end of all things has come. So I want to be on guard. But I would like to pass up a couple verses for just a little bit. And I'd like to move on down to the 48th verse. Because, see, there's a danger for people in the time that the Lord delays his coming. Here's what's possible for someone to do. It says in the 48th, but if an evil servant, if that evil servant should say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You know, because we look at the Lord delaying his coming, things are going to happen. One way or another, things are going to happen. Things happen with the 10 virgins. When the bridegroom delayed his coming, he hasn't come yet. So it says they all slumbered and slept. It's going to be pretty easy to happen. Well, here, this person allowed himself to do wrong because my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of. That can happen. My eternal destiny, where I spend eternity, is going to be based on what I do while my Lord delays his coming, day after day. Well, here's what I want to back up to, because I want to fall in this category. Who then, this is the 45th verse, and this is the one that I'd like for us to look at for this afternoon, is who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Whether it's today or next year or 10 years from now, I would love to be able to be living in a place to where he would find me so doing. What all falls under that category of so doing? I'd like to be able to look at that this afternoon. Because there's a verse in Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. It says, I returned and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. But time and chance happeneth to them all. I understood that the race is not to the swift. The one that tears out running the fastest may not be the one that makes it in the end. And I'd like to tell you a little story I was telling the children this morning. At my job, I work in an office building, a couple office buildings there in Oklahoma City. One of them is 16 stories tall, and one of them is 21 stories tall. And my boss, the people that own the company, they decided one day, they said, you know what, exercise is an important thing. There's so many people running races and doing all that. So they came up with a race, and they called it, the title of it is Dare to Stare. Dare to run these stairs in a race. Now, you know, I can't even walk the stairs myself without huffing and puffing. But people started exercising to prepare for this race. Okay, here's what this race was. So I had to work that day, not running the stairs, but just being there to help out with things. And when they had maybe 150 people that are going to participate in this race. And when they say go, they start out. And it's supposed to be that you know about how fast you can run stairs. So if you're slow, don't get up in the front, because you're just going to make everybody else slow down. So they paced it. If you think you can run this in so many minutes, you go first. If it's 30 minutes, you get in the next line and on back. So they cut them loose. They said start. And so supposedly the fastest one, he starts out. And what they had to do was they had to run the stairs in my building up 21 floors and go across the hall and come down 21 floors. And then run across the atrium to the other building that I work at, go up 16 floors, run across the hall and come down 16 floors. And then run across the street to another building that we take care of and go up 31 floors and back down 31 floors and run back to the building. This one right here said, I returned, I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift. You know what, the guy that just tears out of running, he's going to get a few of those stairs and he'll be collapsed somewhere. But instead, the one that won the race, he started out, he wasn't just wide open. But you know what, he finished that race at the same speed that he started it, just determination and still plugging along at it. And I looked at that. You know what, folks, it's not so important that I show everybody how fast I can go. When I look at that, it's not a fast start that's important, but if I can make a steady finish, that I'll be able to go in the long run. Here is a verse in Matthew 13 and 20. I'd like to look at that verse because we're in a race. And you know, I've seen people that got saved and it looked like they're going to pass everybody up. And that would be fine to have somebody that I can follow. But you know what? A little bit of time can pass. And as happened in this, Matthew 13 and 20 to 21 can happen to all of us. But he that receives seed in stony places is he that heareth the word and with joy receiveth it. He just takes out, he grabs it up, I'm ready to go with it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. You know, for me to be able to make it to the end, I'm going to have to just be steady plugging every day. Nothing is going to turn me back. We have sung this song in the past. Many there are who start in this race, but with the light they refuse to keep pace. Others accept it because it's new, but not very many expect to go through. But then it says, but I'm going through by the Lord's help. And you know what? Thank God for the blood to be able to give me the assurance I can go through by his help. There is nothing that can stop me. I can go through. He that endureth to the end, this is in Matthew 10 and 22. You should be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You know, I was looking at a verse. There was times that the king of Israel would have the king of Syria coming up against them. And there is a verse in 1 Kings 20 and 11. I'd like for us to take a look at that verse because, you know, the devil will come out against us and let us know, you know what? You're not going to be able to make it. Somewhere in here, I'm going to throw up something that's going to cause you to fall. And the king of Syria was really saying that to King Ahab, was letting him know, you know what? You've got a whipping coming. I'm going to defeat you. And here's a reply that came back. The king of Israel, this is in the 11th verse of the 20th chapter, sent back a reply to the king of Syria. Tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. You know what? This thing's not over. By the help of the good Lord, I'm going to make it all the way through. Even if the devil says, you won't be able to make it. Maybe I've had failures in the past in my life and the devil says, you will not make it. You know what? I need to have it just like, King of Israel said to him, don't be believing you're going to be able to get me. It's the end that's going to matter. By the help of the Lord, I'm going to make it. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. By the Lord's help, I'm going to go all the way. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord would find so doing. What things fall into the category of so doing? There's something that, to me, a pastor would love to be able to have, even if it's just a few people, would love to be able to have in the so doing category. You know, we have congregations that's very small now, a lot of them. But it makes this category to shine even more, makes it more important. What is that? If I were to purpose in my heart, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when those doors open by the help of the good Lord, I'm going to be there. In fact, I'd like to be there in time to open up the doors. You know what? That's in the so doing category. It may not be that the end of the world is going to come this year. If it did, I'd be at every service I could ever go to because I want to be ready. You know what? I need to go ahead and just live my life that way. Let this thing be what is valuable to me. Now, the devil will also give us, if we purpose that in our heart, he's going to say, okay, you know, you can't miss for anything. No, but if I have it in my heart, I'll tell you what, this area is very important to me. You remember the verses that tell us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's kind of a command for me. So I can take it as a command and okay, I'm going to do it because it's a command. But you know what? There's another verse that puts it over in another category. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You know what? That's the same, it's the same thing. It's getting the same job done, but I've got a different feeling in my heart for it. One of them, it's a command for me to do, and one of them, it's a desire for me to be able to do. There is another verse in Luke in the 8th chapter and in the 7th verse. So when about the time when I feel like, you know what is in the so doing category? It's really some pretty simple things that I would be able to do. Because you know what, I'd love it if the Lord did come back, or if he even just came back for me. I'd love for it to be on a service night when I'm in service, and I made that my priority. I know in Oklahoma City a few years ago, there was a brother there, and he had a heart attack and died right in the service. You know, there's hardly a better place to go from to go to heaven is be right there. You're worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden you are now transported to worship him forever. It's a great place to go from. Well, I would like to just make it as a pattern in my life. Lord, I tell you what, sometimes we can feel like, well, but tonight there will only be 3 people. Maybe we all just call it off. I've talked to Sister Maxine before because we have very few there sometimes too. And I told her, I said, you know, let's don't close the doors. Because I'd love it if the Lord happened to come back on that night. Because he said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my midst, I'll be there in the midst of them. I want to have it in my heart, Lord, it doesn't matter if it's full or if it's almost empty. Lord, I'd like to be there worshiping you because you said don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So that's what I want to do because that's a part of my life. And I know that one day it's going to come to an end. And I want that area to be one that is fulfilled in the so doing category. This one in Luke, the 8th chapter, and in the 7th verse. Some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it. And it explains it in the 14th verse. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they heard, they go forth, and they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they don't bear fruit to perfection. I was looking at, you know what, we have the cares of this life. We have to face them. It would be nice to be able to say, you know what, I kind of think the early Christians had a desire to do this. When they felt like, you know what, the end is coming, and it's coming soon. You remember when the angel, when Jesus was caught up, and the angel said, you know, this same Jesus is coming back again. They took that down in their heart and they said, he's coming back again. We don't even need these temporal things. You remember we see it over in the first part of Acts where they started selling out what they had. Just joining up together. We're going to wait for him to come back. And then I start reading on down there where Paul to some poor, because of some poor saints in Jerusalem, I'm needing to take up some collections for them. And I just wonder, was that some of the same people? You know, we don't see in the Bible any chastisement for them doing that. Their heart was, you know what, I believe he's coming back again. But I believe it's for our instruction to realize, you know what, you're going to have to live your life as if it's going to be 25 years from now before he comes back. You're going to have to just keep on doing the physical business. And yet at the same time to balance it that he could come tomorrow. Because you know what? They sold all their things and he did not come. And now they're in need. For us today to be able to balance it together. Because if we don't, it's going to be real easy for me to be choked with the cares, the riches, pleasures of this life. And I don't bear the fruit. And I'm not ready on that day. If the goodman of the house had only known in what day that, in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched. I don't know what day it is. For my end, I don't know what day it is. You all heard just in a few months ago about Sister Marilynette. Went to bed that night, everything's fine. And had that house fire, and she's gone out into eternity in a short amount of time. Folks, I tell you, I don't want to have anything that when I went to bed, I needed to correct. Remember when it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that day can come up on me unawares and I can go out into eternity. Her testimony was she had kept it all clear. She lived her life taking care of business to where when the Lord called for her, she was ready to go. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, will find so doing. I want to be able to know those things that are in the so doing category. Going to need some determination. That song number 223 tells about that determination. It says, this is my determination. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. Defeat I shall not know, for God will give me victory if onward I shall go. That last verse, then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame, our snowy banner borne aloft inscribed with Jesus' name. The hosts of evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. The determination is, I mean to go right on. I need to be able to have that. Paul had to have that. And I look over in Romans in the 8th chapter, because there were some things that could have caused Paul to turn around and go back. I look at the list of things that happened in his life after he's serving the Lord, and any one of them would have been a major event for me. How many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned, how many times he was shipwrecked. And he comes down here in the 8th chapter, and he's telling us, who's going to separate us? 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. The so doing category, that I do not let the troubles that come into my life cause me to get separated from Christ. There is another thing that falls into the so doing category, something that I would like to have, make sure I have taken care of in my life at the instant that he would call for me. There's a verse in Mark in the 11th chapter and then the 25th verse. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. I thought about this. Don't know the day or the hour when I'm going to be called on. And you know, I have things come into my life on a regular basis where I've got to make a decision of what I'm going to do with it. And you know, it's the ones where we have really been wronged and we know we've been wronged that I've got to deal with. And I've got to do something about it. And it's so easy to me, human nature is, if I just release that person real easy, they won't even hardly know they hurt me. They won't even see it to be a big deal. So if I'm not careful, I hold it. You know, I'm gonna nurse this thing. This thing that they did me wrong with. But this verses that we've been looking at in Matthew 24 talks about a time when I least expect him, that he can come back again and I'll be called out into judgment. And this category, I want to put in the so doing category. When I am hurt, when I am wronged, that I would realize, you know what, I don't know the day or the hour when he's going to call for me. And it says, if I don't forgive, my Father which is in heaven won't forgive my trespasses, and I surely want him to forgive mine. And so I would like to take this area and keep it alive in my life, that when things come to me, that I would be able to release them, realizing, you know what, I'm on my way out of here, and I don't know what day it's going to be, so I do not want to hold anything. And Jesus left us an example in Philippians. Let this mind be in you. You know what, for me to be in the right place, so doing, when he calls for me again, I need to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Took upon him the form of God. And he left us this example. Took a form of a servant. You know what that form of a servant did? When he was wronged and he knew who he was able to say, Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. You know, and it says all the time he could have called 12 legions of angels to cut him loose. But he realized how important this blood is going to be for you and I. Now, when things come to us, I don't have the power to be able to do what he did when he said, Father, forgive them. But I can apply for that blood to cover that area, and it'll have the same power then. I was thinking of Stephen's example. The stones are coming. And you know what? Inside of us wants to rise up this thing. Hey, I'll tell you what, God's going to take care of you one of these days for what you're doing. Stephen didn't have that. What he asked was, lay not this sin to their charge. Almost like he's saying, I'll tell you what, Lord, if this is the only thing that would keep them out of heaven, erase it, please, so they would be able to make heaven their home. Don't lay this sin to their charge. So it's a challenge for me in my own life. Here's another area that's real important for me to keep in the so-doing category is be quick to forgive when I am wronged. There's another one that is in the so-doing category. You know what? For me to be found in that category whenever he comes again, I need to know what I need, what needs to be done, what do I need to do. And in that, thy word, O Lord, I hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I need to take down the word of God and I need to start storing it away in my heart. Because when the enemy would come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord would like to raise up a standard against the enemy. And how does he do that? He would like to do that with word, the word of God that has been stored away in my heart. We try to work with the children, with our children, to learn some Sunday school verses. What was the reason for that? So y'all know how smart our children are? No. It's to hide away his word in their heart. To where one day a temptation comes and that word, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard in him, against him. And that's how he wants to do it. Not just for the children, but for us as adults. And that's why I need to spend some more time studying the Word of God, putting it away in my heart. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It wants to be able to guide me through this time that I'm going through. And I want to be able to let it happen. You know, we have a choice of what we're going to do in this time while we're waiting for the Lord to come again or for me to be called out to meet him. There was one man, and I love this area in Psalms, because we have pressure all around us. The world is telling us this is what you need to go after. Well, here's what this person went after. Psalms 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's good for us to make decisions. You know what? I'm going to keep a distance from me and the world. But when I read this verse, what comes to my mind is the one that says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh about seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I'm coming back to see what this person has been filled with. I see this verse the same way right here. He's made some decisions. He's cut off some acquaintances. He's turned away from the wrong. But I've got to fill myself with something now. So he does. Second verse of Psalms 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. This is that wall of salvation. This is part of it right here. To be able to help us in that time of trouble. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. To me, if that person that we read about when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, you remember when that unclean spirit came back again, he said he found it empty, swept, and garnished. Yeah, he'd been forgiven, but he didn't fill it back up with something. This man right here, he filled it back in. To where, you remember they used to have the old signs, you'd be going along, you want a motel, and they've got the sign out there, this one's got a vacancy, or this one, there's no vacancy. I'd like to have it in my heart to where when Satan comes by to check, he don't even have to come in to check the signs out there. There's no vacancy here. The prince of this world comes, don't have nothing here that Satan owns. I want to be able to have that because you know what? I want to be ready when the Lord comes back again. We sing a verse of a song that says, do you love to read the Bible? Feel the Spirit's holy fire. Do you measure to its standard? Does each duty you inspire? And then that chorus gives a resounding yes, yes, yes. I love it. The Bereans, I remember reading about the Bereans. It was told of them this way. They received the word with a readiness of mind, and then they went home and they searched the scriptures, whether the things that they had heard were so. So they didn't just take it. You know, there's a lot of things being spread out today, but I need to be able to go home and search the word to be able to have it solid in my heart. This is what it's going to take. How important is peace? It's real important. And boy, it seems to be scarce nowadays, because all you got to do is turn on the news and listen for just a little bit, read the paper for a little bit, and find out there's trouble happening all over, and it's going downhill fast. You know, I would like, the world says peace is when there's no trouble around. So they go over here to Afghanistan, we're going to try to squash this, and we're going to get, okay, we almost got peace now. About the time they get that and quieted down, some other little place that we have never even heard of pops up. Now we got trouble again. Now we're going to worry about North Korea. Seemed like there can't be any peace. But I want to tell you, there's a place for peace for me in this so-doing category. Blessed are the peacemakers. You know, in the little world that I'm involved in, that I would be able to let peace flow out of me. In the little strifes that can happen on my job or in other places, that I would be able to, and I believe this is in that so doing category, to where I'd be able to be ready when the Lord would call for me. There's places that tell us, remember in Jeremiah, the children of Israel were going to go into captivity. And it seemed like it is not possible to have peace in that kind of a situation. But you know what? We find some places where people in the Old Testament could be a slave and be at peace. Daniel, when I look at his life, he died in captivity as far as I can tell. Spent his life, he was a young man when he went into captivity. Spent his life there and died in captivity. But you know what? He had peace. When he had himself in a place to where when he was needed, he had a contact with God. He didn't have to say, hold on a minute, I've been harboring some feelings against y'all for quite a while. I haven't talked to God in so long. He was well acquainted. He was able to tell him, tell me what your dream is. I know a God that'll be able to answer that dream. Tell me what it is. He was in captivity, a place where there's not supposed to be any peace. I saw another man in the Bible, Joseph. I believe he was at peace inside. Because he could allow whatever happened to him that would have ruined everybody else's peace. When he was put in prison and he was wrongfully charged, he just went into prison and said, okay, what can I do to help out in this situation here? You know, it had been real easy when those two men came in that were put into prison for him to say, okay, tell me your story. And they tell him theirs and he say, I got one that'll top that. You listen to all the things happened to me. But you never even hear him mentioning what all happened in his life. Instead, Joseph was ready. He had enough on hand to be able to reach out and try to help those two men. Folks, I tell you, we're in a time where the world is troubled all around us. And Lord, help me in this time of so doing, making peace, having peace in my own life is real important. And in that place in Jeremiah 29, you know, in that chapter, he said, don't, you know, you think peace is if somebody tells me I'm going to be out of this trouble real quick. He said, you're not going to be out of this. You're going to be here for 70 years. 70 years is a long time. He said, you're going to have people that are going to tell you that you'll be out in 2 years. Don't believe them because you're going to be here. So did he say, I tell you, y'all going to be miserable for all that 70 years. He told him something different. He said, go ahead and plant yourself vineyards. Go ahead and build your houses. In other words, settle in here. You're going to have this trouble around you. But go ahead and settle in here. And it said to seek the peace of the city, because it's in that peace that that city has that you'll also be able to have peace. You know, that is something. In the troubles that I have all around me, that I would be able to have peace right in the middle of it. And I believe that's what he was saying. And for us today, you know what, in a way, it's a lot like that today with everything that's happening around us. Pray for the peace of our cities, because it's in that peace that we will have peace. Praying for those that are in authority. You know, I can lose my peace by watching all the things that are happening, or I could spend my time praying for those that are in authority. Why? So, almost like a selfish reason. I got a reason. So that I can lead a quiet and a peaceable life. To be able to remember those that are making the decisions. There isn't another area I'd like to look at. Let this mind be in you. Jesus went about, one thing that was described of him was he went about doing good. In this time, you know what, it'd be real easy to say, I just don't have anything to give to someone else. But I was reading about Dorcas when she died, and people came to there and they started showing not just things that she said she was going to do, but they were showing the things that she had made throughout her life that was a benefit to other people, the coats and the clothes that she had made for other people. And it gave a description of Dorcas. It said she was full of good works. You know, right in a time when there might be trouble all around, she was out blessing some people. She was out helping some people. I would like for that to be what I do in this time of so doing. I don't want to be just, okay, the bridegroom is delaying his coming, and I get caught up in some other things, but I can be prepared, and I want to be prepared. As we have, and in Galatians, the 6th chapter, tells us just every little opportunity we got. Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, and you know what, those opportunities are going to come to us every once in a while, and if we could be ready for them. Let us do good to all men, and especially to those that are of the household of faith. For me to end this time of so doing, that my desire is to do good to all men, to be a help to others. There's one last area that I think we need to work on in this, I need to work on in this so doing category. In Matthew 25, Matthew 25 and 14. Kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. He gave 5 to 1 person, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1. To every man according to his several ability. You know, this story tells us why a person got 5 and another got 1. Because this man was able to tell what their ability was to be able to make a change in it. And then he took his journey. It says in the 19th verse, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. You know, in my own life, it is so easy to look at others that can do things well and say, I believe I'll just let them. They can do it so much easier than I can. You remember the boy that came to hear Jesus? He just happened to be packing his lunch with him. Just a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. Planning on listening to Jesus and eating his lunch and heading on back to the house. But then we hear the disciples saying, when Jesus said, what do we have here? And they said, we got a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. We don't read anything about that they had chased that boy down and take it away from him because he wanted it for himself. to me in that picture, it's a picture of me in a time when, hey, I don't have anything that could help except this. So Lord, I'll tell you what, I'll just offer it to you. In my mind, the little boy, he's hearing that and says, you know what? Don't know if this could help, but I got it here. And the Lord was able to take it and multiply it. You know, the Lord can do that same thing with every one of us. I only have one thing that I've got to be careful about. Don't take the one that I've got and bury it, because I'm busy looking at the one that has five and saying I can't do it as good as he can. If I would just say, Lord, I tell you what, I don't have the ability. But if you can use this one, Lord, I will put it to use for you. Because when the Lord came back, he wasn't expecting the same from the one that had the one as he did from the five. If he would have just done what he could have with it, he would have gotten the same reward that the one that did it before. Both of them would have been accepted. So I want to be real careful in this day and time, because at the end of it all, I do want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And to realize, you know what? There's payday coming. It's only one of two places. And the devil would like for all of us to miss it, however he can do it. But there is a reward for us if we'll be faithful. I'd like to take a look at that in 2 Peter in closing. 2 Peter in 1 and 5, it gives us some things to start adding into our life. Giving all diligence, add faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. 8th verse, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on down. Here is what I would like to hear. The 10th verse, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be able to hear that at the end. I want the doors to swing wide open. This morning we were mentioning about Christian coming there. The door's open for him. Let him come on through. He had the certificate that was needed. But here comes somebody else. Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount ends with, in that day there's going to be many people that say, Lord, Lord, haven't I been in the so-doing category? Haven't I done many mighty works? And he says, I never knew you. I don't want that to be the place that I meet the Lord in. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to be able to see that abundant entrance. I want to see the gate swing wide open and him say, come on in, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I want to be in that category. I desire your prayers.